Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
I would love to introduce our guest to you. Who came out for Strong Marriages yesterday? Such a powerful day in the house as people just really submitted their marriage again before God. And Pastor Mervyn is a great friend of this house. He's a great friend of Ken and my personally. And he has just really enabled us to build and build and build through the years in this church. He has been a minister of the gospel for multiple decades, but in the last, I think, 10 plus years, God has really honed a message on his life in this whole area of recovery, freedom, inner healing, and restoration from those broken parts. And it really ties into the season that we've been having in the life of our church. Church, I want to charge you. You've heard that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You know that saying, right? This morning, through the Word of God, you're going to be led to water. It's such a powerful word that Pastor Mervyn is going to bring. But you this morning are the horse. Whether you drink or not, that's up to you. And I just want to charge us as a church. Would you lean in? Because this word literally has the power to transform your life if you would choose to partake of it. Come on, let's just pray. I feel to pray. Father God, we open up our hearts to you right now in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we bind every distraction and doubt in the place. Father God, every assignment of the enemy that's sent to, Lord, steal and kill and destroy, Lord God, what you're wanting to do in this place. We bind it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would open up our spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, and that the scales of deception would drop off every eye in this place so we could see what your Spirit is wanting to do in this place, and that we could walk out changed and transformed under the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And if you believe that, I want you to stand to your feet and scream amen and praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, as we welcome Pastor Mervyn J. Asila. Come on.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here. Please be seated. It's awesome to be here at Nations. I want to thank Pastor Christie, Pastor Kenley, for having me and giving me an opportunity to speak from this pulpit. We love Nations. We esteem what you have been doing here in this and all your other campuses. So it's a great pleasure to be here this morning. One of the messages, as Pastor Christie mentioned, I talk, and this has become more and more my message, is all about restoration, recovery, freedom, as you said. And I want to bring two messages, one this morning, one this evening. And this morning I want to talk about freedom through prayer and fasting, all right? Freedom through prayer and fasting. Don't shut off just because I said fasting, all right? Don't shut off. That it is a powerful word, and it is a very biblical word. So just hear me out before you shut me off. All right, okay, that's one. And tonight I want to speak a word that I call the Father's voice. Let me just say that, and if you want, you can come again tonight. The Father's voice, you know, Jesus needed to hear his Father's voice. At the right time, in the right circumstances, the heavens opened, and the Father spoke to the Son. If Jesus needed to hear his Father's voice, don't you think we need to hear our Father's voice? All right, and we need to bring the restoration of the Father's voice back into our churches. I think it belongs to everybody. I think we need to open the heavens. We need to break open the heavens so that the Father's voice comes back to us in such a powerful way. But I also want to talk about some who must rise up and carry that Father's voice to a generation that may not have heard the Father's voice. So I want to talk about both of that. So restoration for you personally, but restoration to the generations to come. That's tonight. But now I'm going to talk about freedom through prayer and fasting. In recent times, about a year or so, I was asked to take over global prayer for Kingdom City. And my first thought as I was told to do that is, I think you got the wrong person. I just thought, prayer is okay. Fasting, well, I don't really like fasting. So why make me the person in charge of it? I'm not the right person. And I look at all the other pastors in our team and I go, he should be the one or she should be the one. They, you know, they're always fasting, you know, I'm always eating, you know, so why give me this role? And I realize quite often when God gives you a call, if you step into that call, the enabling power comes. And so when you hear about fasting, you may think it's really difficult, but really when you step into it, God gives you grace. He doesn't call you to a fast and not give you the capacity to fast. So quite often you may think, oh, I hate fasting. I don't like fast. I cannot fast. I get a headache when I fast. You know, I've heard all. But you got to trust that if God calls you, then he'll give you the grace to fast, and he will strengthen you and give you the capacity. Not only will he give you the enabling power, he will also give you the anointing to do it so that the fast actually begins to finish what it was called for. So you've got to believe the Holy Spirit in this journey and therefore listen to this message, because you recognize that fasting actually brings a breakthrough of freedom, a very personal freedom in many cases that you cannot find otherwise. And I'll try to explain that to you as we look at these 3 points. The first thing, all right, through prayer and fasting, freedom through prayer and fast. The first thing is prayer and fasting separates you, all right? It's the separating of yourself. Now, let me explain this in the context of recovery. When we come from backgrounds where, for whatever reason, whether it is the home culture, whether it is the parenting process, whether you went through a season of abuse, of rejection, you went through a difficult time, it's a fallen world. Good things happen to bad people, all right? You stop asking why and start finding your healing. Because good things do happen to bad people. Even as a child, you can be rejected, you can be abused. You may not receive everything you needed to minister yourself. So things happen, but God comes to bring restoration and recovery. And so we get caught up with this pain of our broken childhood. We get caught up with these unresolved issues. We get caught up. And what we do nearly all the time is we find something to medicate the pain. And this is the power of pain. Pain is a powerful motivator. And pain will cause you to look for something, anything, good or bad, if it can just bring some relief, some respite to that pain. You will find something to do it. And this is where we step into patterns of addictive behavior, patterns of substance addictions, patterns of sexual addictions, or even patterns where our whole mindset is beginning to change and we begin to absorb a victim mindset. And instead of looking out towards the world, we kind of look in towards ourselves. And all of this holds us back. It kind of builds around the brokenness and begins to make you, your whole identity is wrapped around it. And you cannot rise up, or you cannot fully rise up and be everything God called you to be. And the frustration for us in the church is, we then come to church and we come to amazing altar calls, you know, when the prophetic guys are around, and then they tell us, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to be awesome, you're going to go to nation. And then you go, really? I can hardly get through my self-hatred. I can hardly deal with self-esteem. And so this person, you know, when I was 19 years old, I became a Christian when I was 19 years old. And one of the first things that happened to 19 years old is a pastor said to me, he says, somebody sitting in the back, you got a red T-shirt. And I kind of looked at everybody. And then I thought, oh, I've got the red T-shirt. You know, and I was really in a bad place, and I so didn't want God to talk to me. I was sitting in the back row. That tells you all your back row people. Sorry. All right. I just didn't want to pray. And he picks me up. There's something that in a red T-shirt. I go, okay. You know, and he says, you rise up, you go to the nations, and you preach. And I go, really? You know, everything in me was so cynical. Yeah. Like, really? I can hardly manage today. Yeah. I am struggling with depression. Yeah. I cannot even get up in the morning. Yeah. And you telling me I will go to the nations and pray. I didn't want to hear the message. Yeah. Now, it came to pass, so God is true to his word. Yeah. But tell you the truth, I just went, you know, I feel like telling the preacher off. Yeah. I like saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what's going on in my life. You know, I was so annoyed with that process, you see. And that's what we did, because our mindset, our thinking, our perspective is trapped in this process. I want to show you how fasting is going to separate you from that mindset, from that addiction, from that behavior, from that voice of brokenness, and become what God has designed you. So I'm going to take you to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, and then verse 12. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. And Daniel purposed in his heart. Whoa, I love this. He purposed in his heart. You know, we need to purpose in our heart. You cannot let your Christian life come and go and let's see how it goes. We'll just work it out. No, you purpose in your heart. You decide what you want to be. You decide how you, because the heavens are open. Every spiritual gift has been given to you. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. Jesus has died on the cross. There is nothing to stop you from purposing in your heart and moving in the things of God. So you purpose here. Daniel purpose in his heart that he will not defy himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. Now that's a bit hard because you're talking of really nice Nonya food. Although you know Nonya cakes. I love Nonya cake. I go to Singapore just to eat Nonya cake. Anyway, that's another story. All right, this was all the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank, and therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defy himself. Daniel makes his point. In verse 12, he said, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. We read this and never think about this, but let me give you a background. Daniel's probably 17 years old. He's a slave. He's been pulled out of his city, his people, his mom and dad, and the security of home, dragged as a slave and brought to a completely foreign place. Yeah. You want to talk about trauma? Yeah. You want to talk about how one day your life is good and next day smash? Yeah. You're talking about Daniel. Yeah. Completely. No idea what's happened at home. No idea where his mom and dad. No idea will he ever, ever get back home. We would forgive Daniel if he went and got depressed. We would forgive him that. We would forgive him if he all got victim and said, I just can't go on anymore. We would forgive Daniel after that whole traumatic process. But Daniel purposed in his heart. He chose not to slide down to the painful emotions, which must have been there, the sense of lostness, the sense of where is God? What are you doing, God? Yeah. All right, you're supposed to be the covenant God. Why am I now a slave in some foreign place, foreign language, foreign food, foreign religion, value system? What am I supposed to do? We would forgive Daniel under the peer pressure if he thought, I'll just go along with these guys. All right, I don't want any more trouble. I'm in a mess. I'll just go along with them. I'll just do what they want. I'll just be good. But Daniel purposed in his heart. You see, so often we let our broken history drag us down. Yeah. But we forget we have a Christ in us, and if you purpose in your heart, it pulls you out of your circumstance. Yeah. And again, we need to purpose in our heart. And he decided, you see, he decided, no, I'm still going to set myself apart. Yeah. I'm going to, you see, what we would decide is go, you know, life's a mess. I'm painful, I'm struggling, who cares? Yeah. I'll just go into substance abuse. Yeah. What does it matter anyway? God doesn't seem to care, nobody seems to care, my life is messed up, so why not? See, that's the mindset. We call that a victim mindset, by the way. Yeah. That's the mindset that gets you into addictions and keeps you in addictions. Yeah. Yeah. Until you change that mindset, you're not actually going to break out of an addictive behavior or a substance. But Daniel decided, no, I'm not going to eat that food. I'm going to keep myself right with God. Now, it's probably true that the king's food was offered to idols and he didn't want it. He wanted to keep his covenant with God. And that's why he didn't want to eat it. He didn't want to be a part of that because he was still true to his calling and purpose. He didn't go and say, give up. By making a choice to abstain from certain food, Daniel kept himself true to the purpose of God. Yeah. See, fasting does that. Sometimes you have to go to a point of, I've allowed myself in my hurt and brokenness, I've allowed myself to go to certain behaviors, certain thinking, which I shouldn't go. Now, let me talk about thinking. Quite often we think you can think whatever you like. I didn't say it, I didn't do it, I just thought it, so it's okay. No, it's not. It's not okay for two reasons. Number one, God knows your thoughts. And they're not very clear. You see, the meditations are not pleasing to God, number one. Number two, your thoughts are actually going to build a mindset. And that mindset will stand opposed to God and the intent of God. So take control of your thoughts. Don't let them go wild. Don't go, I can think anything I like. I can just go into the spiral of self-pity, or I can go into the spiral of hatred. Don't do it. Because it's the birthing, and in many ways it opens to demonic oppression, because you open your mind to that process. So bring all thoughts into submission to Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Bring all thoughts, not some thoughts, not a few thoughts, not only good thoughts, bring all thoughts into submission to Christ. Take control of your thought life. This includes your imagination. This includes your fantasies. Whoa. All right? Bring all thoughts into submission to Christ. You want to get this right, bring all thoughts. So Daniel begins to do that. He just goes, I'm not going down the self-pity road. I'm not. Amazing. He could simply go, there's nothing happening in my life. Everything's a mess. Why not eat some nice food? That's all there's there. That's what we say. Everything's a mess. So why not go with my friends and just binge on drugs? What does it matter anyway? See, you have to purpose in your heart. By using fasting and prayer, he set himself aside. Daniel had no idea that he will come such a voice of God to the empires to come. This Babylonian Empire, and then the Persian Empire, and then the Medo-Persian Empire. For seven kings will rise and fall, and Daniel will be the voice of God to that seven kings. You know what? He could have completely become a victim of his circumstance, but he chose, by fasting, by abstaining from certain food, he chose to set himself aside, and he goes, I will not go down that victim road. I may be a slave, but I will not have a slave mind. I may be a slave, but I will not let my spirit be a slave. I may be a slave, and you may keep me trapped here, but my mind will think like the Son of God. He refused. He purposed his mind. He made a choice. He moved into a fast, and he kept himself strong in the things of God. You have to make that choice. Many of you may be sitting here saying, I'm struggling with an addictive behavior. I'm struggling with anger. I'm struggling because I get furious and I just lash out. You don't have to. If you cannot find the breakthrough by prayer and fasting. There's something about fasting that breaks the strongholds. There's something about fasting that just breaks hold of this whole journey. As we die to the flesh, the spirit rises up strong. And you hear God so clearly, the understanding, the wisdom, what is going on becomes so clear as you abstain from food. All right? I know you're all thinking of lunch, and this is not the best sermon at this time of the day, but bear with me, there's two more points that we got to go into. Are you with me? All right? I haven't lost you. I've got a few people with me, that's good. Let me go on. All right? The second thing I want to show you is prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting breaks the strongholds of the times. And I think sometimes we forget what are the times we live in. And what are the strategies, the mindsets, the worldviews, the tricks the enemy is using in this time. Because there are times that we live in. In every season, even in the church, in every season, the enemy came with different strategies, different tactics, different schemes of deception to deal and to try to squash the power of the church, to the power of the sons and daughters of God. What then is this power, this stronghold that is affecting you and you can't break out of what you're going through? And so we find ourselves in our home, in our family, in our personal life, struggling with certain situations, and we think it's us. It may actually be the spirit of the times. Yeah. All right? Let me explain that from you. We need to do a little bit of study here in Matthew 17, verse 14 to 21. And I'll only start reading from verse 21. But Matthew 17, verse 14. Now, this is an interesting story. Jesus goes up to Mount Transfiguration. Great time, you know all that. He comes down, and there's a whole multitude of people there. And a man comes up to him and said, you know, I've got a son, and my son's struggling. Most of your Bibles will say he's struggling from an epileptic, sickness or behavior, suffers from it. Actually, the study of the word will not be epileptic. It will actually tell you it is from time to time a demon would come and trouble him. That's actually the story behind it. All right, so the English translations don't get it. It's actually a demonic oppression. Yeah. Somehow into this family, into this child, the enemy can keep coming in and tormenting this child from time to time. Yeah. All right, think about that, because it tells you something about spiritual warfare. And very often in contemporary Christian, we forget. Yeah. We forget that it's a spiritual warfare. Yeah. We forget the enemy is always scheming and always planning and always trying to destroy you, because he's afraid that you may take your position in sonship. And if you take your position, he's gone. So constantly to deception, he must come and hold you down so you never rise up to that place. So this boy is brought, and the father says, you know, I got your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus answered, this is verse 17, and Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Now, when you look at that verse that Jesus said, you will realize something. When he said, O faithless and perverse generation, you see, the Greek has a sound, all right, in its language. That means when you look at the choice of word, you realize, well, did Jesus shout this out with anger? Did Jesus say this softly? You can actually pick it up. And when we study this, we find Jesus actually said this under his breath. So he actually, his disciples are standing around him. The man is complaining. And under his breath, Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be? He's actually telling his disciples off. Does that make sense? He was not telling the multitude. He was not telling the father. He's not telling the boy. He's upset with his disciples. Yeah. And he calls his disciples faithless and perverse. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah. And then he lifts his voice up. And then he lifts his voice up and say, bring him here to me. So the crowd, the multitude, the father only heard, bring him here to him. And so the boy came and he cast out the demon, the boy. And then the disciples came and said to him, all right, now we are in verse 19, disciples came to Jesus privately. Now, after you've been told off, you do things privately. All right? You go, I don't want him to say it loud. So they come quietly to him, and they said to him, why couldn't we cast it out? Yeah. All right, we've cast demons before. And they had. We've done this before. Other cities, other places. Why in this case we couldn't do it? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Now, he just told them, faithless, perverse. And now he's saying, because of your unbelief. The issues are your unbelief. All right, he says, it's because of your unbelief. And then he says to them, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible for you. And then he adds, however, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Yeah. Nearly always when we read the English text, we think Jesus is saying that kind of demon cannot come out with prayer and fasting. I beg to differ. I think what Jesus was saying, that kind of faithless, perverse unbelief you, my disciples, have can only be broken with prayer and fasting. Wow. Because they go cast out demons before. He's not caught up with demons, he's caught up with them. And he says, this generation has a faithless, has a perverse and unbelieving, and the enemy has come in. That's the spirit of the times. A faithless, unbelieving spirit. We can associate with some of that even this times that we're believing. All right? Now, when you look at the words, oh, faithless, and again in English we lose it, but actually the background behind that word is simply this. You are a people who know the word of God, but you don't actually believe the word of God. Wow. That's what it's referring to. And the point is, Jesus, the Pharisees, and the multitudes, and the Jews around him actually knew the word of God. They were very well versed in the word of God. Their tradition and their customs from the days of Ezra was very involved with studying the word of God. They could memorize it, they could quote it, they knew all the commentaries, they went to school, they read it, they knew the word, but they didn't really believe in that word. And Jesus said, you're hearing the word, but you're not believing it. Are faithless. And sometimes when we are hurting and broken, we hear the word, we can't believe the word. The pain so much. The memory is so strong. The voices that told us and put us down keep ringing in our ear. And we can't overcome it. We're hearing the word. I'm sure you get amazing word in this church. All right? You get amazing word as you go to some of the studies that you have and you're equipped with the word. But what's the point of the word if you don't obey the word? If you can't believe the word? It is the spirit of the times. There is a move of the enemy that is making people not believe in the word of God. We understand that with somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. But I want you to wake up and realize, am I one of those faithless people? I hear the word, but I don't really believe. Okay, how do you know you believe or not? Well, it's what you do. If you believe, you'll do it. If you believe, you will walk in the word. If you don't walk in the word, don't fool yourself. You don't believe. You cannot say, I believe, but I'm not going to do it. So really, it's very easy to test yourself. If you keep the word, if you're obedient to the word, if you do the word, you believe. If you don't do the word, you don't believe. All right? You can convince yourself you believe, but it's just that kind of thing. Now, then he used the next word. He used the word perverse. Whoa. You know, perverse, perverted. We always use that word with sexual perversion, but Jesus is not using it with sexual perversion here. When he says perverse, he is saying you change the word. All right? He's saying you take the word and then you change it. So you know what the word says. The word says, you know, you can't have sex until you get married. But then you meet this girl and you fall in love and you're both so in love. And you go, you know what, in our case, it's fine. Because we're so in love. We're so in love, definitely it's okay with us. So you know the standard of the word, and then you look at your situation and you brought the word down to your situation. That's perverse. Does that make sense? You changed it a little bit. You justified your behavior and you brought the word down. All right, in what we do. Or you may say, no, in my case, you know, yes, you know, I struggle and I watch porn, I struggle, but, you know, things are really bad in my marriage. We're not having very much sex in marriage, so it's okay for me to watch porn. My situation justifies it. Wow. Perverse. Yeah. Yeah. But we do it all the time. Yeah. We do it all the time. Yeah. We go, you know what, pastor says this, so I'll do it in front of pastor, I'll do it, but behind you, I'll do what I want. Perverse. Yeah. 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 Wow. It's this. Jesus was so frustrated. He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long do I have to be with you? Now, can you see the frustration of Jesus? Yeah. What do you want me to do? I've taught you and you just will not believe that. And when they say, why couldn't we do it? He said, unbelief. Actually, if you had a little bit of faith, if you trusted me a little bit, if you took my word as I said it, just a little bit, you could have moved a mountain. You could have found your healing from your brokenness with just a little bit of faith. Wow. If you just listen to the voice of Jesus and don't allow the spirit of the times to hold you back. Yeah. Don't say, you know what, I just went, I keep going to counseling and I keep going to a counselor and I can't break through. And Jesus is saying, You want to deal with this? You really want to deal with this? This kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. You want to deal with this? It's got into you. It's got into your thinking. It's got into your emotions. It's got into your worldview and your arguments and your mindset. You don't even know what it is anymore. It's so messed you up. You want to deal with that? You really want to deal with that? It only comes out with prayer and fasting. Now listen. I come from a broken background, so I'm not in any way attacking or judging you if you come from a broken background. But I had to separate brokenness from Christness. Yeah. There were times I didn't know what was brokenness, and I didn't know what was Christness. Yeah. I didn't know which part of my thinking was in alignment with God, and which part of my thinking was so messed up. It felt so right to me. It felt so good to me. My arguments in my head felt so good, so right, so truthful. But they were a lie. Yeah. They were absolutely a lie. Yeah. And yet it felt so good. Wow. It was prayer and fasting that separated the perverse part of my thinking, the faithless part of my thinking, and killed it. Wow. Yeah. Prayer and fasting brings freedom. Whether you're struggling with a porn addiction, whether you're struggling with anger, whether you're going through childhood brokenness, there's a thing, listen, there are things counseling can do. This coming from a counselor. There are things counseling can do. Believe me, it can do. You can do only so much with counseling. There are things where you have to go before God on bended knees and seek Him with prayer and fasting until the breakthrough comes. You just got to do this. And there's something powerful that sets you free, because there is an atmosphere, there is a spirit, there's a stronghold of the times that comes and holds you. And things you hear and things you watch on TV just builds that false mindset. You don't go into a time of prayer and fast, you go get stuck with that. Are we getting there? Can you see where prayer and fasting? I told you it was good. Fasting is not bad. Fasting is good. Let me tell you a third one quickly and we move on. The third thing is prayer and fasting begins to activate the promises of God. See again, if I talk from the context of hurting, brokenness, victim, pain, and all that, victims have a problem because God doesn't fulfill His promises in their worldview, in their experience. Where's God? I keep praying and praying, He doesn't answer me. I cry out to God, He doesn't even speak a word to me. I tell you, you got a whole book. Why do you need a word? Read the book. All right? People are always trying to find a word. The word for you is read the book. There, you got a word. All right? Because it's there. It's there. If you look deeply, it's there. It's the answers you want. If you look deeply enough, it is there in the whole journey. But you see, you ask about the promises of God. You got to understand how promises work in the Bible. See, so many times we think of it in our worldview, we take the word promise and we define it from our experience. But it's not exactly what the Bible is saying. So let's look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 2 and 4. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. What happened is Daniel begins to read the books and actually find in the teachings or the writings of the prophet Jeremiah, he found the prophet made a prophetic statement, 70 years from now, you will be free, no more in captivity, you'll be released. And he goes, wow, we're here. This is the time. Which is interesting because he came to captivity when he was 16 years old. So you imagine how many years has gone by. And now he's going, that's the promise. Now what do many of us do with the promise? We go, great, God, you promised. So we sit there and we wait for the promise. All right? Now, have you had a child and you promised the child, okay, I'll take you out to the zoo. And they come, Dad, we're going to the zoo. And you say, you go, Dad, you promised. So the whole thing is based on the fact that you promised, you got to do it. So we have a wrong concept of promise. You got to understand in promises in the Bible, heaven decrees, earth must enforce it. All right? What heaven decrees, you must loose. You cannot say heaven's decree, I'll just wait for it. No, it doesn't come until you loose it. If heaven binds it, you must bind it upon earth. You must echo the voice of your God. You must take the promises, you must declare it, you must shout it from the mountaintop. You need to go to a rooftop and shout it. You need to shout it, you need to declare it, you need to pray it, you need to confess it, and heaven decrees, you need to do it. So there's no silence. Careful with silence. Yeah. It's silence that got Adam in trouble. Wow. Come on. Yeah. Don't trust. Right, I'll just be quiet. Yeah. I'll just be a nice Christian. Oh God, I'll wait for the promises. Wow. Come on. Yeah. There's a fighter, there's a warrior in you. Yeah. Begin to decree, begin to release the promises of God. Now when Jesus taught his disciples to pray and he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That phrase, thy kingdom come, has a very strong, almost violent voice behind it. So it's not thy kingdom come. It is thy kingdom come. Yeah. Wow. And you have to rise to that place to enforce heaven's promises. The promises are there. Heaven's spoken. It's decreed. You enforce it. Yeah. But again, what happens, and if you have struggled with any season of brokenness or pain or frustration or depression, one of the first things that goes is your voice. You become silent. You don't feel like praying. Don't like the Bible. Bible's like dead. You're not confessing the word. That That's what the enemy wants. He wants to silence your voice. Because he knows your voice will bring heaven's promises. So if he can shut you down, if he can make you so depressed, if he can make you so disappointed with God, if he can make you so disillusioned with God, with the people of God, with the word of God, you'll be silent. And you just go into this depression and you just never pray. He's got you. But actually God is saying, stand up, I've given the promise and fall. So Daniel does, look at verse 3, what he does. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Going to get the worship team to come up as we just finish this last passage. This is what Daniel did. He saw the promise and he set his face. He didn't see the promise and just, you know, lose his strength. He set his prayer. There's something about us setting our will in alignment with the will of God. Yeah. Even in the Lord's Prayer, you pray, thy will be done. Yeah. You are setting your will in alignment. You're saying, God, you spoke it, you willed it, I'm setting. He set his face towards the Lord God. What we do is we set our face towards the hurt and brokenness. There's this irresistible lean and call that comes from hurt and brokenness that drags us back there. You've got to fight that process. You want to dwell in yourself, but you want to dwell in your hurt and brokenness. You want to blame somebody. You want to hurt somebody. I understand all that. And that's part of the pain. But you have to set your face to the Lord God. Don't dwell in the pain. You've got to set your... And he set his face and he made requests by prayer and supplication with fasting. See, there it is again. And sackcloth and ashes. Let me explain sackcloth and ashes. There's one more word in that. And he made confession. Daniel understood. He understood that he was in captivity because the fathers had sinned. He hadn't sinned. The fathers had turned to idolatry more than 70 years ago in Jerusalem. And now they were in standing, they were in captivity. He understood that. But with a humility, and that's what fasting does. You stop blaming and you begin to become the solution. Yeah. You stop attacking people. And what Daniel does is he takes the sins of the fathers, political fathers, religious fathers, biological fathers, he takes the sin. And he stands, you can read the rest of it, he stands and he confesses as though it's his sin. He says, Father, forgive my sin and my father's sin. Yeah. See, fasting brought him to a place where he's not blaming. If only my father's got it right. Yeah. If only the abuser did that. Yeah. If only my child was there. Yeah. Now he says, I'll carry him. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Fasting shifted him from a victim to Christ because it is Christ who carries our sin on the cross. Yeah. Jesus didn't go, why should I carry? I didn't do anything wrong. We victims say that all the time. What should I do it? I didn't do anything wrong. It's his fault. It's their fault. But fasting made him see the answer. And he carried with sackcloth and ashes. He moaned and grieved and repented for sins of his father. What he was doing is he was breaking the legal ground that the enemy had to punish his people. Because by repentance, you see, sin and the effects of sin do not end unless someone repents. Someone's got to repent. And he repented. And he carried the sin. And he confessed it. And he said, God, you're a God who keeps the covenant. God, you're a God of mercy. You keep your commandments. And he came before God. And by doing that and praying that prayer, he released a promise. And let me quickly tell you about that time. A new Persian king comes into power, Cyrus. Read in Ezra chapter 1. Ezra comes in power. Ezra, the new king, does something the Persians have never done in recorded history. He released a slave people and set them free. Wow. Fasting and prayer brings freedom. He released his people. Let me ask you a question. Instead of being so caught up with your brokenness, should you be fasting and praying so your people can go free? Maybe your generations, maybe your people worship idols, Maybe they're caught up in a worldview. Maybe the spirit of the times has got such hold of them and their worldviews are so messed up. Who is going to stand? And stop being a victim and say, God, I'll be Christ. I'll carry that and break the legal ground of the enemy and release favor and blessing. And let the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Judge of all the earth, says, let that family go. Let them come to Christ. Fasting and prayer. Do not despise fasting and prayer. Don't think it's just some silly religious practice. It has a power of its own. And maybe today you can hear God saying, you've asked me for your family. You've asked me for your son or your daughter. You asked me for my wife. You asked me for your marriage. You asked me because you're struggling with depression. Here, I'm speaking to you. Will you come before me in prayer and fasting? Will you purpose in your heart? Will you set in your mind? Come, let's stand and worship for a while. And let the Spirit of God speak to you. Let God speak to you.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.